The scripture reading today is Luke 24, 13 through 35, and this is the CEB version. On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of the things that have taken place over the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one that would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago. But there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told them that he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women said. They didn't see him." Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all that the prophets have talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he was going to go on ahead. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. After he took his seat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us on the road, and when he explained the scripture for us?" They got up right then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, the Lord really has risen. He appeared to Simon." Then the two disciples described what had happened along the road and how Jesus had made known to them as he broke the bread. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Consider the following scenario. You're on your way home from a long day, tired and stressed. You're hungry, but you know that the refrigerator at home is empty, and it's as empty as your stomach. If you are like most Americans, where are you going to go stop for food for the evening meal? Not the grocery store. Not McDonald's. Where then? A gas station. You'll pull up to the gas station, fill the tank with premium octane gasoline. Well, maybe not right now with the gas prices, but in a normal circumstance, you might fill your tank with premium gas. You'll run inside and you'll grab a fresh panini, a 3-cheese pesto, and double espresso, and you'll take off for home. You're part of a swelling demographic group of Americans who dislike fast food but don't have time to cook up an elaborate home meal. Even grocery stores are morphing into takeout catering services where you can pick up chicken cordon bleu or Chinese sweet and sour pork. Of the 6.2 trillion with a T, the $6.2 trillion spent on food in 2020, 10% was spent on fast food alone, not including restaurants and convenience store purchases. Ravenous web surfers can preview full menus and order prepared meals from their favorite grocery stores, right from their cell phone on their couch, and they can have it to they can have it delivered directly to them within minutes. Cooking in the kitchen is now a hobby, not a duty. In 2020, we all learn to be better chefs, right? You all can cook me up a surf and turf if I come over tonight, right? In 1987, 43% of us, 43% of all meals included at least one item cooked from scratch. That figure dropped to 36% in recent years. We love eating at home. We just don't want, we just want somebody else to do the cooking for us. See, I have two friends who like to say with one another that one of them cooks and the other one cleans, and sometimes they swap around, and I say, I have that exact same deal with my roommate, except that I normally, short of the last week and a half, normally don't have a roommate, so my roommate's fallen behind both on their rent and their cleaning duties. Back in 1879, Heinz produced the first bottle of ketchup, and they marketed it with an ad that said, quote, "For the blessed relief of mother and other women of the household," unquote. In 1953, just a year before the beloved Golden Arches went up, a Swanson food dietitian named Betty Cronin created the TV dinner. With this, this was the first time when meals took an average of 2 hours to prepare. TV dinners hit the shelves with the promise of providing relief to mothers, quote, "burdened with baby boom offspring." I'm sorry, most of you were, according to this, you were a burden to your mother. I don't think that's true, but according to this, you were. My apologies. No offense. What once took 2 hours now had been shrink-wrapped to a tidy 15 minutes. And with the invention of the microwave, that's even less. You can have it in like 3 minutes. For more, see the June 1st, 1998 edition of Time Magazine with the article, "The Joy of Not Cooking." We don't want to take time for dinner, but there's a lot that we miss when we skip supper, beloved church. What do we think the disciples walking the Emmaus Road were thinking and talking about that late afternoon? Jesus himself asks them the question, "What are you talking about as you go along on the road?" They were discussing the phenomenal events of the past few days in Jerusalem. But when Jesus was about to leave them, there is no doubt that dinner was on their minds, and they wished that Jesus was with them again in that moment. It was only when they were eating with Jesus that the disciples realized with whom they were eating at that time. Jesus didn't appear to these two in the empty tomb or in the temple or on a mountain peak, but at a spiritual gas station, a refueling place. At a home-cooked meal. He came as a companion. The word companion literally means with bread. Com-pan. With bread. Meals are important, no doubt. Jesus still visits us at mealtimes, even today, often through the friends, family, and strangers that we entertain at those tables. Author C.S. Lewis, in The Weight of Glory, says, quote, "Next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. If he or she is your Christian neighbor, he or she is holy in almost the same way, for in him or her also Christ is truly hidden. End quote. Beloved church, Christ is found in our companions, the ones we break bread with. And the dinner table is the Lord's everyday cathedral, or church, or sanctuary. It is in the saying of blessing at the table and the breaking of bread with one another that a meal with Jesus is celebrated. And it's in that meal that his resurrected presence is experienced. We don't know for sure where the biblical Emmaus Road was located, but we can figuratively say that Emmaus is anywhere that a Christian group of people might gather for table fellowship. Emmaus can be here, or there, or anywhere, because Jesus will travel wherever his followers are going, and will appear wherever they break bread. What do you really miss out when you skip supper? Not just good cooking, but a great chance to encounter the resurrected Lord. Like charity, communion begins at home. The Eden Kitchen is a place of both nourishment and devotion, writes Lee Schmidt of Princeton University. They continue, food and family are blessed together through the common ritual of table graces. Why not use religious pictures, posters, and plaques as fixed counterparts to these spoken prayers, pointing to God's presence with the family and the routine laborers of cooking and cleaning? Have you seen this little poem in someone's kitchen shellacked on a decorative piece of wood? Perhaps the edges are burnt and it's affixed to it. Your grandmother may have had a copy hanging in her house, and it says, "Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener in every conversation." Here's another. O Lord, warm this kitchen with thy love and light it with thy peace. Amen. Photos of children might be nearby the above mentioned plaques, and family relics and souvenirs might crowd the counters and the sink around these. At worst, religious mementos are sentimental. They are sentimental and saccharine sweet. At best, they manage a sacramental blessing and connect everyday suppers to the meals hosted by Jesus. There is absolutely nothing wrong with objects that remind us that Christ is present at our table. The Bible makes abundantly clear that Jesus loved to eat and drink with those around him. For example, he enjoyed the wedding feast at Cana. He fed 5,000 people on a hillside. He ate with tax collectors and sinners and sat at the table with his disciples. Once he was asked by the Pharisees why his disciples were eating and drinking and not fasting and praying like the followers of John the Baptist. Jesus answered, quote, you cannot make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? Luke 5:34. He spent some of his final hours eating with his disciples. We call it the Last Supper. Revelation refers not just to the marriage of the Lamb, but to the marriage the marriage supper of the Lamb. Like the first disciples, we can eat and drink with joy because our bridegroom is with us at this table. The resurrected Lord is, quote, the unseen guest at every meal, offering us his peace and his guidance if we will only acknowledge his presence. The challenge for us is to slow down enough to make a connection with Christ and with one another. We can do this by scheduling a meal that we can consistently enjoy together, whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper, snack, sometime together. We can do it by resisting the lure of fast food and taking the time to enjoy some slow food. Food that is not prepackaged in individual servings, but comes from the common platter or bowl and must be served to a group that is sitting down together. We can do this by taking the time we need to actually eat a meal, not just jam food in our mouths as we run by the table on our way to baseball practices, dance lessons, church meetings, and appointments. To eat and drink with joy and feel the presence of Jesus Christ, we must make our family meals a kind of wedding reception for the bridegroom. Not fancy, but well planned, well served, and well paced. It is, of course, a fact that postmodern life, that schedule, that schedules conflict and meals must be skipped on occasion. Activities run through the dinner hour. Family members run in different directions, and food must be wolfed down on the run. But there is a cost to this frenetic pace. One that is often forgotten as people dash from one important event to another. When we skip a meal with each other, we are skipping a meal with Jesus. When we dash away from the table, we are dashing away from the presence of Christ and his fellowship with our companions. The questions we should always be asking ourselves as we race wildly from place to place are these. Is the next activity more important than the nourishment that comes from breaking bread together? Is this next activity or event more valuable than the guidance I might receive from conversation over dinner? Is this schedule making me feel more at peace with myself and others? Unless we can answer yes to these questions, we would do well to find a way to spend more time at the table with Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Creator, through him." Karen Strauss, in her article, "What Happened to the Family Dinners?" from Raising Teens website, says this. Of course, things aren't like they were in the 50s. More moms are working, and so are more of their children. Some nights, the dinner table might be the car seat on the way to play rehearsal. Or other nights, it could be the bleachers during a high school football game. Families might be eating more fast food, but regardless of the hindrances, American families are fighting to keep some semblance of a family dinner alive. Dinner time is often hectic. Some families might wolf down dinner and do their talking over breakfast. Others may talk with their mouths full. Some may just appreciate a few moments of silence after a stressful day. The times, they are a-changing. But family dinners are here to stay. They may be microwavable and rushed, but at least they still exist. Whatever you do at the dinner table, on the road, at work, on the soccer field, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Plan your day in such a way that Christ is always your companion, and in such a way that you can find him in the people you eat bread with. You miss a lot when you skip supper. You miss a meal with your companions, your family and friends, but you also miss it with the companion, the one who brings bread. Our resurrected Lord. This week, take some time to be in communion with one another, with your family, with your loved ones. Be in communion with the companion, Jesus Christ. Amen.